gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some totes, because it's time for Fatal Four Way Radio with your host, Minister I'm Sinister, brought to you in part by WrestleCourt.com. And now,
all right. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister, the resident heel even, the IWC World Heavyweight Champion, no less. Holy crap. So many names. But yes, I am your host of Fatal 4-Way Radio. And with us today, we have, as always,
Oh, my gosh. Jesus Christ, these fans. They're award-winning claps. Thank you so much. Nice to be here, Minister of Sinister.
Yes.
I'm just you know, living a good life, you know, for our Christian God.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, also give it up for Batman. Batman. How are you doing, Batman?
Don't do me like that. Took it quick. I'm doing good, man. I'm excited to stay there talking about the podcast, going over wrestling. Can't get much better than that right now.
Not much better than that. That's a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to Christian. In the head zone. Christian, how the hell are you doing, bud?
Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. The Hulkamaniacs are wild tonight. And I got something to say about Raw tonight. About Raw last Monday, brother. And you want to hear what I have to say, Hulkamaniacs.
Ooh, yeah.
Real good impression there, you prick.
Love you guys and your impressions. That was Mean Gene, by the way. He does not care for the impressions. Mean Gene, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we do have a show today. It's gonna go real fast and real smooth. And you know, I'm a little under the weather right now. So it's an uninspired show as well. Talking to the guys early on, everybody's uninspired today. So, plus it's the kickoff to NFL football tonight. So we're gonna roll right through this show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So I'd like to start talking about today. We had we're gonna open up today with The Miz. Sometimes we get caught up in The Miz, and then Joe Bates doesn't get to talk about his favorite character, The Miz. So why don't we just open up with The Miz, and I'm going to break it down for you guys so you guys can remember exactly how this went down, because it was a whole Miz. SmackDown was Miz heavy this week, in case you didn't notice. I mean, it was just like Miz was everywhere, and he wasn't really there doing much, but he was still everywhere, seemingly. He was ubiquitous, if you know what I mean. But nevertheless, they opened up with Renee Young introducing Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan. And, of course, they gave us highlights of last Tuesday and shit with Daniel Bryan and Andrade Cien Almas, where The Miz and Maryse got involved. But then they also aired a video of Miz and Maryse in the ring from earlier in the day, where they showed up to the arena and it was empty. And they were calling Bryan and Brie out. Of course, knowing that they're not going to be there. You know, it's a heelish thing to do, very heel. The Miz says that they're trying to save them the embarrassment of getting beat up in front of millions of people again. But then we go back live, and Bryan says that it's a perfect encapsulation of who The Miz and Maryse are as people. And by the way, I got to give freaking Bella kudos for coming up with that, for using that word, encapsulation. Oh, my God, if you don't know what that word means, go look it up, because even I had to do that. But I digress. So they attack people from behind, he says. And they show up to the arena and call them out knowing that they're not in the arena. And Brian delivers a good promo. He delivers a good promo with a lot of passion. He says that they aren't the It Couple, but that they're just a couple of cowards. And he's been using this word. He's been throwing around this word a lot lately. Cowards, coward this, coward that, coward this. But then Bree says that cowards only talk and shit. And she says that herself and Daniel, they didn't come out to talk. And they don't have to wait for Hell in a Cell. And then Brian says that it's SmackDown and it's time to fight. But then Renee Young says, Miz and Maryse are no longer here, man. They're not in the building. And, of course, Andrade Cien Almas' music hits. They come out. And, again, Andrade Cien Almas should not be speaking on the mic, at least not yet. However, they put the mic in his hands, and it sounded kind of crazy. But Zelina comes on and says that it's them crying in the ring yet again. And he says, she calls them the Stars of Total Bores. And so then they start a match. They had a great, intense match, guys, that ended with both men standing up at the end, exchanging kicks, almost dropping Brian on the bottom of the turnbuckle. And then he went to go deliver the double knee to the face. But Brian picked him up, went for the hammerlock DDT, but Brian got out of it. Cien Almas was trying to do the hammerlock DDT, that is. But Brian got out of it, and then he gave him a kick right to the back of the head. Almas went down. Brian gave him a flying knee to the face, and it was it. 1, 2, 3. The winner, Daniel Bryan, Zelina Vega, got in the ring. The Bree attacked and Vega. And let's see. So then they went to the big screen, and Miz and Maryse were there. The Miz says that they're taking the night off and going on a date. The Miz says he heard they were looking for him, but the truth is they were at the arena and they already went looking for them, this and that. Miz says they're going to have to wait until Hell in a Cell to see them again. And so then they went backstage. Brian and Bree got interrupted, and Brian says that they're going to go get some dinner. And then they mentioned the same restaurant that the Miz and Maryse were eating at. So, Joe, let's cut it here, man. What did you make of all this? And what about that match with Andrade Cien Almas and Daniel Bryan again? You had to know, though, that it was that they were going to come out and that this was going to continue. It seems like it's an ongoing thing with Almas and Thea Trinidad, what's her name, Zelina Vega, going up against Bree and Bryan Danielson. Your thoughts, Joe Bates?
I like it. I like Almas having something to do, and he's, you know, wrestling one of the main people on SmackDown. I actually don't even mind Almas losing a match, you know, against Daniel Bryan. I think he'll be fine in the long run, just something that's happening now. And maybe they're kind of giving it a test run for a future rivalry later, or maybe an intermittent rivalry between when this Hell in the Cell in WrestleMania, when Bryan goes back after The Miz. One thing I noticed was Nikki Bella really looked like she needs Zelina Vega in the face. Like, it didn't look fake. It looked like Nikki Bella, or Brie Bella, didn't really know what she was doing.
Man, like she really legit did. And, you know, the night before, she had that horrific move where she almost killed herself, launching herself out of the ring. Self-doubt in her freaking face. Oh, my God. Bree Bella is a total mess right now. And it's amazing because she's married to freaking Daniel Bryan. You would think.
Yeah.
Clearly, she took off running on Monday Night Raw, if you don't know what I'm talking about. She took off running, folks, hit off the freaking ropes, stops, and then jumps out of the ring. Instead of just letting her momentum go take her through the ropes, she stops at the very end, jumps out, gets caught up on her leg on the rope, and falls flat on her freaking face, looking like she came up short. But, you know, if she would have just ran through the move, that wouldn't have happened. But she's dangerous in the ring right now.
It's weird how people react to the Bellas. I know they have their TV show and everything. But before Charlotte and all of them came in, the Bellas weren't very good wrestlers. That's one of the reasons the women's evolution happened, because the Bellas were leading the pack and they weren't very good at it. They didn't know how to wrestle. They never really learned how to wrestle, you know. Sure, you know, the ones with Daniel Bryan, but it's not like they got any better.
They just got, you know, more popular because of who they're with. Not that that's why they were doing it, but just that was part of it. It did seem like the storyline with The Miz and Daniel Bryan on the next thing is that it was like the writers were like, oh, hey, we got, how do we have The Miz and Maurice don't show up to go to dinner? Or no, they show up, but they'll challenge Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan won't be there. Or Daniel Bryan will challenge him, or maybe they'll have another match. Miz will have a match, and Daniel Bryan interrupts. Like, why don't we do every idea possible in one episode?
Yeah,
just do
yeah.
all the ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how we are now. It didn't feel coherent.
Organic.
In SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's my feeling about it. I love The Miz still, but it was just not a great Miz episode for me.
Yeah. He was everywhere, though. He really was everywhere. Batman. Let's see here. Batman. What about The Miz, man, on this episode? He was all over the place without jumping to the end because we still have more Miz to go.
Yeah.
We still have more Miz to go. But up until this point, what about The Miz? You know, taunting Daniel Bryan. This is going to go on. And the sub-feud with Almas and Zelina Vega is exactly that. It's a sub-feud to keep Bryan and The Miz away from each other, because this will definitely, you know, it'll be sporadic, but it will culminate in WrestleMania. Your thoughts, Batman?
Yeah. I agree with Joe. I think this is a little... giving Cena a little, like, a program to pretty much hold over, like, kind of put a pause after the Cell in the Cell. Bryan and a little kind of mixed team thing going on here, bringing back that series again, the season, mixed tag team or mixed challenge or whatever. But going in with Lena and Cena almost versus, you know, Bryan and Brie. So I like that idea. I've said in many podcasts before that I wasn't a big Cien Almas guy, and he's really kind of got me on his bandwagon. So Zelina Vega, that knee she took, Jesus Christ. and not only that, when it like that whole, yeah, but the hold at the end looked pretty violent as well. And Brie, I mean, I don't think she's clumsy. I think it's just the ring rust, you know what I mean? She still probably looks like she's like a little self-conscious about herself, you know? You look at the episodes, she's always talking about that. But yeah, I mean, I like what I kind of, I'm looking forward to see what's going on with the Cien Almas, and because they've been really going at it. I like their chemistry, honestly.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a good opener, man, between Bryan
and
Andrade Almas.
I'm a little down on
I,
Joe,
you know,
not feeling the Miz
chemistry.
Today.
They have good chemistry together, and I noticed that they work. I mean, they're really freaking stiff, man. Those guys are too stiff. They're two pretty stiff guys, man, but they hit each other that way. That's the way they are, man. They're taking these hard hits with one another, but I was a fan of it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good opening, hard-hitting match. Christian from Philly. What about your thoughts? Christian, what about your thoughts on this opening
I thought it was a decent opening, but I feel like the feud between Miz and Daniel Bryan has somewhat lost its magic ever since Brie Bella got involved in this shit.
Ooh.
Now, I hate mixed tag matches. I really do, because it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
It kind of lost its buzz now because Brie Bella's in. And I bet you 10-1, Brie Bella's gonna be the one who's gonna take in that pinfall.
You
bring a good point.
I think what it does is I get to the pointlessness of a mixed tag match, but what it does is it doesn't give you Daniel Bryan versus The Miz again. It kind of lengthens the feud while giving Miz another way out.
Right. And something else will be coming for The Miz too, guys. I mean, The Miz, you know, something else, somebody else will be challenging The Miz here soon to take him away from this as well. I mean, there's going to be somebody else soon. Who it will be, I have no idea.
AJ Styles.
It's coming. And I don't know. I don't know. And you know what? Why don't we take a break from The Miz And let's get into Rusev, since you brought up Rusev. This is going to be one of our shorter segments, though. Rusev and English, man. Here they are again, just fucking 3 weeks ago, guys. It was looking like these guys were going to end. I mean, this is all Bayley and freaking Sasha Banks again, and it's pissing me off. It's pissing me off, man. I mean, what the hell? I want to see them beat each other down already, man.
You know
they're prolonging
really
this,
my
the inevitable. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a freaking mark here, man, or I'm being a millennial. I always make fun of millennials for wanting instant gratification. And look at it. Here I'm wanting instant freaking gratification.
Yeah!
Guys, get the fuck out of here, man. Joe Bates, am I being a millennial here and wanting instant gratification on this? Do I just need to let it play out? What the hell?
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I like it. I like it a lot. I don't think it's like Sasha and Bayley, because I feel like the seeing Aiden help like multiple times in that match, Rusev win, is kind of like, it's kind of like Aiden had to learn how to help. Aiden English had to learn how to be a good like friend. And I think it's leading, and I'm not 100%, but I think it's leading to Rusev and Aiden English having the tag titles as kind of a reward for Rusev being so successful with the fans. Because they're not going to do the Bar versus New Day again, I don't think. So I think this is leading to a Rusev Day tag title.
Wow. Interesting. Batman, do you think this is leading the Rusev and English to a tag team title? Hey, the New Day? I mean, the Rusev Day, all day, every day,
I guess
tag
champ? I could see that. I could see it. I would like the comedic dynamic, you know, that they would create, because Rusev is funny in his own right, you know what I mean? So I can see those segments. I can imagine one of them bringing the pancakes up and him, like, devouring it, or, like, them dancing and then Aiden and him dancing, or, you know what I mean? They kind of – I would like to see that chemistry between them. The Bar, that brings up that whole segment at the end, too, with the Bar. I'm not so sure. I don't know, man. We keep talking about – we'll get to those guys in a little bit, but – I like the whole them helping each other out, because it still kind of extends the whole storyline between them, because they can still get the tag team champions and then split them up after. You know what I mean? So there's still a little more that they can milk out of them together. Even though for the past couple of weeks we've been talking about separating them. Like, we've mentioned it so many times. I feel like this is it. I feel like this is it. Maybe we're wrong, because they're milking it, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
They're freaking listening to us, and they're throwing us curveballs, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's the only explanation. Holy crap, man. All of a sudden, you know, it looked like they were done at that last pay-per-view, and then next thing you know, they're back together, they're chummy. Now we're talking world championships for them. What the hell? But they were in a match this week. They're still on television, and that's a good thing for them. Also, that's a good thing for Sanity and the Usos. The Usos are just, man, they're completely, gosh, I feel bad for those guys. But it is what it is. So I'll tell you what, let's get Christian's thoughts on Rusev and Aiden English, and then we'll close out for commercial.
Who cares about Rusev Day? Where are the fucking Good Brothers, man? I have not seen them once.
Man.
Since the pre-show on whatever pay-per-view. Was it Extreme Rules? I haven't seen the Good Brothers at all. Where the fuck are they at?
I thought they were on Raw.
No, they're on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's true. Then you're right.
Where are the Good Brothers?
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's rough.
Well, they've been uninteresting the entire time they've been on WWE, so... I don't really mind not seeing them.
Well, they'll be back. I mean, but where are they? Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'll tell you what.
Did they do a segment like a week or so ago where they were like all nerdy, kind of like interviewers or something like that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, where are they like in the ring? They're not doing anything with them, I guess, is what Christian is.
Yeah, they've been doing live shows and stuff like that, because I'll see them like, you know, when they'll post.
Yeah.
Like, you know, WWE Atlanta, WWE, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
we'll do live
shows
and stuff, but I haven't seen them on TV yet, right?
We're going to take a break, guys, and when we come back, we're going to talk, let's see, we're going to go back to The Miz. And then we've got some other things. New tag champs, of course, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Man, oh, my God. We'll be right back.
I've always been a...
I'm sick of all these people talking.
never understood a damn thing about this year. From words to actions, never knowing what they're about. I guess I'll have to chew them up and spit them out. And I said,
hey, you silly kids, it's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show that determines things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? Something really scary?
You want to see something really?
This whole time I've been on mute. Get the fuck out of here. Don't you just hate it when I do that? Ladies and gentlemen, Joe, are you here? Christian?
I'm still here.
I'm here. Okay, guys. I was talking about The Miz and how he had this whole thing with R-Truth. It just went on throughout the whole night, right? R-Truth was somehow thinking that Maurice was Carmella, and this whole thing, it's been going on for weeks now, where he's been talking about Carmella this and Carmella that. So it ended up with the segment at the end, though, there, where they were having the segment together where The Miz asked him when the last time they tagged together was, and R-Truth said it was 7 years ago or what have you. The Miz told him that was the last time he was relevant. And so it was a comedic segment there. But then we had the match, right? Because they did make a match out of this. So it was The Miz and Maurice versus R-Truth and Carmella. And good match between the two. But the whole thing with The Miz, and then it ended up with, of course, Daniel Bryan. R-Truth won the match, okay, there at the end. Because credit to Daniel Bryan, and you had to know this was going to go down. You just had to know. And that was my problem, my beef with SmackDown this week. Everything was predictable in how everything happened. Even the AJ Styles, Samoa Joe thing was kind of predictable. Even, we're not going to talk about it today, but it was. Let's be honest about it. It was still a good show, though. The Bryan's music hit at the end, and The Miz was going for the skull-crushing finale and shit. But then R-Truth reversed it and got the win. And so Daniel Bryan got in the ring, and they put the yes locks and Brie threw Maurice into the ring. And then she got tripped up by Zelina Vega, though. And Andrade Cien Almas got in and started to beat up on Daniel Bryan. But The Miz and Maurice took off to the back. And then the tables turned on Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. And they found themselves in yes locks, tapping out in the middle of the ring while Miz was cowering away. And then he didn't go back, though. To make the save, you got to give him that. He went back to make the save, so respect to The Miz on that. Joe, would you have gone back, man, to make the save, or would you just have been straight up heel and just said fuck you?
I mean, he made the save without having to get his hands dirty. So, how smart is that? That's a genius.
Give us your thoughts on that segment, man. And did you enjoy that segment?
I gotta say, I really liked the mixed match challenge last year. I thought that was an enjoyable time on Facebook Live watching. And it's coming back, and I kind of like using SmackDown to build it a little bit with R-Truth and Carmella. It's kind of interesting. It's interesting to see that. And I'll say this, you know, being the, the comedy expert on this show, in the last 10 years, I don't think anyone has been more consistently funny than R-Truth. Maybe New Day. But R-Truth has always been, like, the whole episode, every time he was on the screen, it was quality comedy. And that's part of the WWE, is being funny, and R-Truth brings it. I think the idea of turning Carmella face in this weird way is kind of interesting. We'll see if that works out for her, but I liked it. I liked R-Truth telling Ty Dillinger that's how you get in the main event of SmackDown. I think that was kind of...
Yeah.
I like the idea of a dumb guy being smarter than everybody else.
And that
so I liked it. I thought the segment was good. The Miz can take a pin. It doesn't matter the Miz. Comedic expert,
The Miz can always take a pin. Nothing is going to hurt him. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is our comedic expert.
That's
awesome. That's
awesome.
That's awesome. The Christian. Christian, do you agree with the comedic expert on, the Miz? He can take a pin anytime. But do you agree with him on R-Truth being consistently funny, no matter whether you like it or not? You have to agree that it is consistently funny.
Oh, yeah, it is. He's hilarious. I always laugh when I watch him on the couch. But more importantly, Daniel Bryan is doing more heel shit. He interfered in the Miz's match and cost him the match. That Miz didn't do that in opening when he didn't do that with Daniel Bryan against Cien Almas, and Miz saved Cien Almas. And Brie Bella attacked Zelina Vega for no reason. So Daniel Bryan's the heel in this feud, not the Miz.
And that is what I wanted you to say. I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say it, Christian, because you told me last week. It sounds like they're listening to me. Everything I say, they're listening to me. I mean, you've been saying that Daniel Bryan is the heel and that Miz is the face. And, you have a show with Christian where he's been talking about this week after week. Enlighten us, man. What are your thoughts? It seems like Daniel Bryan is the heel.
Well, going off of the R-Truth real quick. I agree with Joe. He delivers every time. He's in a perfect example that as long as you got something to provide, you're always going to have a spot. You know what I mean? As long as you take take advantage of your opportunity, whatever little TV time you have. As long as you kill it, you're always going to have it. And look, R-Truth, not for nothing, Miz had a point. He hasn't been, hasn't had a lot of TV exposure. But every time, it's like we never missed it. I don't want to say we missed the guy, but it's like, when you don't see a friend for a while, and then you see him, and it's like nothing ever happened. No time is spent.
Right.
It's like that. If he killed it. And what he told them, he's like, well, what are you trying to do? There was a method to his madness. This is how you get to the main event. This is how you do it. You know what I mean? I always make everybody think that you're dumb because at the end of the day, when you flip the script, you're like, whoa. But the Daniel Bryan thing, I called this a couple of weeks ago, man. I have a feeling like they're going to do the perfect way to expand it to WrestleMania is to, in the middle, have him kind of be the heel. And the perfect way to make him a heel is to have him just kind of get angry, I'm tired of your shit. The reason he's doing heel stuff is because he's getting tired. He's got to the point where he's like, I'm tired of you always trying to, go behind my back or cheat for this or the biggest punch. You know what I mean? So because he's tired of that, that's the only way that you're going to get Daniel Bryan to be a heel is making him like, I'm just tired of your shit already, man. You know what I mean? How can you still be better? You're not better than me. The only reason you're better than me is because you're fucking cheating. So fuck it. If you're going to cheat, I'm going to cheat too. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what's going on right now.
And,
I get a little nervous because I remember Hulk Hogan being kind of a guy who did some heelish moves even when he was a face sometimes. So I feel like they're just letting him do that stuff and not necessarily going to turn him heel.
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys, man. On the R-Truth thing, he definitely still has it. Every time he gets, he goes out there and he burns it up, just like Batman was saying. I mean, he's good at what he does. So, yeah, it's good to see him out there. It was surprising, though, to see Andrade Cien Almas and Selena Vega come out. But very interesting in seeing. It's going to be interesting to see where creative goes with them at this point. But Carmella managing R-Truth and being involved with him in the mixed match challenge and stuff, that's going to be very entertaining. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll see how that develops. But let's move on, guys. We're going to get straight into the Shawn Michaels and Undertaker segment. And let me pull up the little script here. Let's see, man. That was something else, guys, man. That to me, that segment was, you could tell they went off script a little bit. It seems like Shawn Michaels went off script when he started telling him, look, dude, I've turned down freaking matches. You know, you have any idea every freaking year how many people come banging on my door? You're wanting another match, and you know that's true. I read about it every freaking year. People talking about, you know, they want Shawn Michaels in one match and this and that, right? So I think he strayed off from the script there a little bit. But these guys, they get that luxury of being able to do that. If that was, you know, Seth Rollins doing it, he'd be in a world of shit right now. But even Seth Rollins, I think he could go. He might have a little leeway, but not much. They keep those guys in a short leash right now. But let's see here. I'm still looking for this shit with The Undertaker. Here we go. So his music hit, and he comes out dancing and shit, does a full dance and shit. You know, I miss, for me, guys, this is when they at least, come on, man, bring the freaking flamethrower out, the sparklers or whatever the hell. We used to have sparklers. Bring them out one night only. Holy crap, it's not that much money, man. But I digress. So he gets into the ring. And he's listening to the people chanting HBK and shit. And, you know, he says he tells them that he would usually tell them to stop because he's not worth it. But he's decided to let him shower him with praise. So they start showering him with more praise or whatever. And he starts to shill his T-shirts and the network. And he's always done that. So he goes through his whole shtick, right? And he, of course, he shills a super showdown. And then he's going to get to his predictions. But he starts talking about the other people and their predictions and shit. And so he says it's going to be insane. And he decided to get off the couch and to come in and shit. He wanted to be in person. So, you know, he sells the pay-per-view. It's going to be something no one will ever forget. He can almost guarantee it, even. So he was surprised to see how many people picked The Undertaker, though. And he says that he throws a little bit of shade right there, where he says that he would have understood if the WrestleMania streak was still intact, but it isn't. And he was surprised that so many people still thought Undertaker had the advantage. And to me, it's not the advantage. It's just I think it's booking. That's why I've been thinking Undertaker's going to win. However, I'm now starting to think Triple H is going to win. But that's another point, and that's for another call for another time. But he says that even Stone Cold Steve Austin is in agreement with them, which he was. And he thinks Triple H will win the match, he says, and that people are probably going to think that he's being objective or that he's not being objective because they're best friends and whatnot, but it's purely professional. And Undertaker needs to understand that Triple H is still the king. He's still the cerebral assassin, and he's going to kill him in a cerebrally assassinate. He's going to cerebrally assassinate The Undertaker at the Super Showdown. He said that. Cerebrally assassinate. But then the bells fucking tolled. And he took a shit in his pants. The lights went out. The freaking crowd, man. Oh my God, what a treat. What a treat for them. Undertaker. I'm sure some of them thought, I can die now. Some of them that had never seen him, you know, could probably say, I can die now. There he is. But so he makes this freaking, you know, entrance, 20 minutes and shit. And the crowd is holy shit, you know, holy shit. And The Undertaker cuts a bit of a heelish promo, man. I thought it was a bit of a heelish promo. He was talking about how he's put them both down. He took the best Shawn Michaels and Triple H had, and he put them both down. And Michaels is just staring at him the whole time. And in the process, he reached in and he took a part of their souls. Their egos, they can't accept it. Michaels chose Triple H because he took the one thing from him that was most important, and that was his career. He was antagonizing. There's no doubt about it. He was antagonizing. So then Michaels asked if, you know, what's The Undertaker, if that's what he thinks that's really about. He says that he's a man of his word, you know, and that somebody had to restore faith in the system, you know, to be committed to the words that they spoke. Anybody could talk, but they go back on their word after a while, and Michaels doesn't do that. And, you know, he stuck to his retirement because he's a man of his word. He stayed in retirement out of respect for the system, the fans, and for him. But, of course, the one more match chance picked up. Michael says every time he steps into the arena, he hears that chant. And he almost starts to freaking cry. The Undertaker cuts him off, and he says, if it's really about respect. So then Michaels goes on to say that, you know, for nearly a decade, people have been clamoring for one more match. And he goes on to say, you know, about the people in the back and shit, asking him every time, you know, hey, man, one more match. What about, man? Give me one match with you, you know, at WrestleMania, this is that. He stayed retired out of respect for him. That was the whole thing. But then The Undertaker calls him out at the end and says, is it really respect or is it fear? And so Joe Bates, seems like Undertaker and Shawn Michaels are going to come back for one last hurrah, but it seems like it's not going to be here in the U.S. They're doing it for the other countries. And that is what my whole thing is. They're doing it over there because they make so much money doing it over there. Your thoughts on this?
I got a lot of thoughts. It's a mix of good and bad. First off, bad. Shawn Michaels, if you rewatch it, the crowd is not like, they're like, they love it when he comes out, but when he starts doing the promo, it's so all over the place, and the crowd is not into it until The Undertaker comes out. It's kind of like, I feel like I heard this before, it seems like the exact same setup when Triple H and Undertaker faced the second time. And I think it's going to lead to the exact same setup with Shawn Michaels being the special guest referee in Australia. There was some good back and forth between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, but The Undertaker, who is legitimately my favorite wrestler of all time, has never been a great promo guy. You know, he's just been good at being a scary, tall dude.
Right.
I don't think it was heelish what Undertaker is doing. He was just speaking the truth. He's just being honest. He's like, look, I defeated both of you. Why do I have to keep fighting you guys? It doesn't make any sense. Get over it. And then he's got the whole idea that he took Shawn Michaels' career. He's like, I did this. So why do you, you know, get over it? And I hate the idea that this might lead to Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Because we had Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker two times. The first match, possibly one of the best WWE matches of all time. The second match, not as good. But I don't need to see them 8 years later do that match again. You know, they're not going to be the same. It's going to take away from what that first thing was. But I think what's going to happen is that in Australia, Shawn Michaels, special guest referee, he's going to kick Undertaker in the face. Triple H is going to take the pin. They're going to celebrate, and then Shawn Michaels and Undertaker fight WrestleMania. I hope not, but that's what it looks like is going to happen.
There's actually talk that it's not going to be at WrestleMania, that they're going to come back for a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. I want to say in November or some type of shit like that, and that's why they're doing it. So it's not going to be here. At least that's what I read today. Let's go to Christian, see if he's got any news on that. And also, what are your thoughts on Undertaker and Shawn Michaels? There was a lot of talk. These guys still have it. Are those your thoughts on that? They still have it, or were you upset by it?
This whole angle between Triple H and Undertaker is just a rehash for the WrestleMania match. But if they are going to do Shawn versus Taker, here's what I would do instead of that match for Mania. If it does happen on Mania, I would have a triple threat Hell in a Cell match between Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Undertaker. That's what I would do. Instead of having a one-on-one match, we have a triple threat match and see who's the real legend, you know. This isn't about careers. I'll have the promo be centered about, this isn't about careers. This isn't about being the best. This is all about being the top and who is the real icon in this industry. That's why I would put the promo. That's why I would do the feud for. So that's my thought.
You know, speaking of careers, I thought, this thought came to my head. I'm not saying this is what they're going to do or whatever, but the thought did come to my head. What if they are coming up with some type of evil scheme to put Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in a career match where if Shawn Michaels beats Undertaker, he takes his career, and Shawn Michaels essentially has nothing to lose. What if they did some shit like that? Batman, what are your thoughts on, first of all, the segment between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, and then what I said, what Joe said, just close out the segment first, Batman.
I mean, I think to me the segment was, it was a little reminiscent of the when Shawn Michaels came to defend Triple H in the last bout, or like the first bout, so, you know, hey, this is my, you know, trying to defend the honor of the previous WrestleMania when he, you know, ended his career. I'm actually looking into a different perspective. I'm thinking if Shawn, I do see Shawn coming in as the referee, but I would see him actually super kicking Triple H and not Undertaker. And the reason being is because Undertaker left that hint, like, you know, Triple H couldn't even do it either. And he's got that whole, like, pride, like, shit, I couldn't do it. Triple H can't do it. Ain't, if I can't do it, nobody has the right to do it. You know what I mean? Especially since they're friends. So I could actually see it as, like, Shawn Michaels kind of, you know how he has that little confused look with his little lazy eye that looks on the floor and the other eye looking up at the sky. And you know what I mean? So I can see him, like, having that moment where he's confused and he sees Triple H just about to win and, boom, super kicks him. You know what I mean? And then Undertaker goes and pins him. And then you get, like, that confusion, like, no, it's just, if, let's say if in case they were to bring Shawn Michaels back, you know, because that's what they're kind of hinting. It was kind of like a blatant hint, you know what I mean? Like, we're thinking of doing this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels has already been talking about it. I even talked about it, I think, mentioned the other day, where it was a hint and it would be perfect, not between him and Johnny Gargano, but him and Ciampa, you know, especially since Ciampa now is the NXT champ. And he can make that last until, especially with the NXT, they make them hold that championship belt for a while, you know what I mean? So I can see it going to WrestleMania and him coming in, but now with this Undertaker thing, I can see him doing that, turning not heel, but, and how Christian says, it all leads up to either all three of them or Undertaker again, but this time with a different dynamic. But I don't see him super kicking Undertaker. I see him doing with the Triple H just to create that, get that heat going and confusion, you know what I mean? With both one eye looking down, the other one up, and then,
I read something that Meltzer is talking about them doing, you know, the Shawn Michaels returns. Meltzer is talking about Shawn Michaels returning. Stop it. It's talking about Shawn Michaels returning at that pay-per-view. That apparently they're having another pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia coming up this year, like right after, like coming up here soon. I haven't even looked at it, folks, guys. I haven't even looked into it, but apparently this is what I read earlier. I have to catch up on the news after this because I'm interested to see. I don't want to see Shawn Michaels come back again. I think he should just say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it.
I don't either.
But then again, I mean,
if you were going to have
one
match,
he's going
to
do it, right? Obviously, he's going to do it. He's going to do it in another country. And he's just doing it strictly for the money because it said that they pay a lot of money in Saudi Arabia.
I only want to see Shawn Michaels face either AJ Styles or Adam Cole, and that's it.
No, you really wouldn't.
AJ Styles would be badass.
You wouldn't want to see him with a Ciampa? A really perfect heel Ciampa?
I
could imagine
seeing
him beat the shit out of Shawn Michaels. Like, really just, if you were going to have, because Shawn Michaels has this thing where he puts them over, obviously, but he gets like that where you feel bad
that
for
extra
the guy,
bounce.
You know what I mean? Yeah, extra bounce in the cell too, but I'm saying like he's got like that sympathy vote, you know what I mean? And I could just imagine
him coming back for that one match and then perfect face going against the perfect heel Ciampa, and then just imagine Ciampa just breaking him down. You know what I mean? Like, that to me would be, without even having to tell a story, that would be a perfect story in the ring. Like, I can just imagine it.
One of the random matches I watch all the time is that match between Hogan and Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels is just, like, overselling because he's being an asshole. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And Hogan's, like, confused, and it's like, what is happening?
But he made it work, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of, like, he oversold, but you believed it because of, you know, Hogan, that hype. Brother,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he did kick him that harder. Yeah.
Christian, you were saying?
I would have Ciampa make fun of Shawn Michaels' religious beliefs and talk crap about God.
Oh,
man.
That's
some heelish stuff right there.
That's
man.
Keeping it real and keeping it heel.
Yeah,
you're not
Shawn
that good a hunter.
Back, man, But then again, I guess I can't blame him, man, because the money, it has to be a huge payday, and I'm pretty sure that's why he's doing it, man. He wants to make sure that his family is able to, you know, live off of his fortune for years and years to come, and I think that's probably why he's going to do it. But I don't know. I don't know him personally, so we'll have to see.
You know what Ciampa should say? He said, I saw that TV show where you're trying to be a hunter, which makes sense because that's what you're trying to do your whole WWE career. Triple
why
H
am I the
music.
Only one laughing, man?
It's fine.
Am I the... Yeah.
No, I'm on mute.
Oh, there's my crowd. That's what I'm used to.
Oh shit! Hey guys, let's beat through this down. Let's go ahead and beat through this with no commercial, man. Fuck the producers. Let's move on. Let's see here. We don't have much left, actually. It was a heel heavy Raw. It was a very heel heavy Raw, and we'll save that one to the end. But let's go ahead and talk about the Shield beatdown, though. Let's just go ahead and talk about the Shield. Let's see. The night started out, and you know. The whole thing, man, come on, man. They drove back in the freaking van, in the police van with Roman Reigns driving. I hate to see shit. Like, that's too much jumping the shark for me, man.
Hey, did you notice Renee calling out
and
him getting arrested?
Yes, Renee calling out the Shield getting arrested. She was pissed off.
Her own husband getting arrested. She's got to do it real calm. Like, nothing happened. You know what I mean? Like, she's nothing. Like, oh my God! I can't believe this right now. You know what I mean? Instead
of
her,
if there was any question, guys, that Strowman was a heel, there's definitely no more question. He's definitely a heel. He's doing heelish shit. You knew that last week. You know, when the minute he showed up with fucking Ziggler and what's his face, that was it. He's a heel. And so yeah, his heelish run continues. He's still getting cheers though, but he definitely had some boos. He definitely had some booze. So, you know, this is it. This is the moment. Cena has, Roman Reigns has become John Cena completely.
Well, Minister, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe in a sense, Braun Strowman's heel turn is somewhat of a good thing. Because let's be honest, he was getting a little kind of stale. Maybe this is a little good thing for him. You know, because he was a heel and he got over.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, see, that
working
works. It works for him being. This works. This works in a way, like, to make him heel. This way works to me in a way because it's like, okay, he's such a big guy, and I think Joe's the one that said it too. It's like we were first confused. I think Joe is the one that said it was like it was confusing because he hasn't shown any inkling of like needing help from anybody. What better way?
Yeah.
And now that I was thinking about it, it's like, what better way? This is a big dude. He doesn't need nobody. And what better way to just be like the lazy big monster now? The lazy monster, just have little minions do shit for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then instead of beating him up, coming in and stealing the thunder off the two little guys. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what it looked like this segment, right? The other guy did a lot of the work, and he kind of just like, and took the big old hooray for it.
I don't know. Well, I got to see where this goes.
Don't get me wrong. It's still a little confusing, but, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Is that still, that's how they try to make him
human. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. And like Joe says, we have to see where it goes. I mean, that's just
like,
basically it. We just have to see where it goes.
I was just confused. So I couldn't stop watching it, and I'm like, what is going on? And then Kevin Owens was there.
Stop watching it.
And Authors of Pain were there, and I was like, and the only thing I could think of, like, if this is a giant stable, like the corporate ministry, then I'm okay with that, just to see like a giant group of wrestlers taking over Raw because now Corbin is the leader. I'm like, okay, maybe that's okay, and I'm fine with that. But I really didn't like that Kevin Owens showed up that way. It would have been kind of nice to have that thing, and then Kevin Owens come out as a reveal later, as maybe the mastermind behind it or some stupid shit like that. But it just seems it seems very strange.
Owens coming back.
And you know what doesn't make sense?
I have an issue with Kevin Owens coming back, man.
You know what? You know what doesn't make sense? The fact that Kevin Owens helped Braun Strowman, the guy he's been feuding with for the past 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Will you stop? Yeah, the whole thing was a big fucking train wreck is what it was. And that's why you couldn't stop watching, Joe. That's the same thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't good. The more we hack at it, the worse it gets. You know, here I was saying it wasn't good, it wasn't bad. Well, shit, now we've hacked at it a little bit. You know, points have been made, and, you know, looking back on it,
it was
bad. I mean, shit.
Incongruities. You know what it was reminiscent of? It was reminiscent of when the NWO had been around too long, and they just had a bunch of NWO stuff happening, and no one knew exactly what the hell was going on.
Yeah, guys. Oh, man. Yeah, looking back on it, we had to let them fight chance and shit. My favorite part of this segment, guys, I'm going to say it right now, was Baron fucking Corbin. At the very end, guys, when they finally threw the shield into the van and shit, and then Baron Corbin is like walking away from everybody, and he's got his hand on his head, and he's shaking his fucking head. Like, holy shit, man, this is happened on my watch, man. And he's fucking like, and then he comes back and he's like, Stephanie, yes, the Shield are in custody now. Oh, man, but I don't know. It's Christian.
But let's all agree that Finn Balor looked like the biggest bitch on Raw that night.
Oh, man, I knew it. I knew you were going to bring it up. Man, he looked. Oh, man, dude. He's become nothing more than an entrance.
Yeah, what do you think you're going to... What do you think they're going to do with him?
Move him to SmackDown.
When he was out there
hopefully.
Freaking fighting, you know, with the...
I would like to see
trying
him
to separate
imagine
them
him
all.
In SmackDown
like
with AJ
and
the other dudes.
Yeah. SmackDown, I think, is the best move.
Man.
Him and AJ could have a good program, I think. With being
the Bullet Club
and all that stuff.
Bring them both into the Bullet Club, all four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hey, I gotta go, Minister. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you very
Take
much,
care, everybody.
Joe.
Have a good one.
Hey,
kids.
Anything going on with you this weekend, though?
Next weekend, I'm headlining the Wileys in Dayton, Ohio next weekend, so definitely check it out. And everybody,
you know,
grow up and make sure you tell your parents you love them. All right. Take care.
Ladies and
Bates.
Gentlemen, Joe Bates, the
hi,
resident
hi.
Comedy expert on Fatal 4-Way Radio. He's the comedy expert. Yeah, he's our comedic expert here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. So anyway, listen to his show tomorrow. I don't know what it's going to be, but it will be funny and it will make you laugh. So listen to that tomorrow. First thing when you wake up in the morning. You come to Blog Talk Radio or go to worldgenerationpodcast.com and you look for Joe Bates and his show, Rank You Very Much, will be listed right there at the very top. and you just click play. That's all you got to do. It's as easy as that. And you will laugh. You will laugh because he's a funny guy. But let's continue with this. Where were we, guys? We were talking about freaking... Oh, yeah. And then the end, when they come back again, the freaking... to close out Raw, it was the same guys again, the Shield.
Yeah, the Shield. That came
so
out.
It was the Shield. Let's see here. They came out all of a sudden. How did that go down, guys? Somebody remind me how that went down.
Roman Reigns was the Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler were beating down Finn Balor after the match. The Shield drove on with the police van that arrested him earlier tonight. Roman Reigns was driving it. They came out of the van, and then the whole heels came out and beat the living shit out of each other, making the Shield reunion a joke. And here's an extra fact, and an exclusive clip on their website. When the whole thing went to black, the Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler were running on the ramp. People were cheering for them. When the show went off the air, people were cheering for the three heels.
Were they strong cheers?
No, there were real cheers.
Hey, so this was when? Right at the very end? Right before they faded to black? I'm going to go back and check that out for sure.
After they faded
after
to black.
Faded. Oh, you saw a video?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so that's what they had. They had the baby faces, apparently. The Shield are baby faces. And they had them down on their asses with,
2 weeks straight. 2 weeks in a row.
The new Shield. Yeah, the new Shield. Because that's what they are. They're the new Shield. They're protecting us from the fucking... from the stale-ass Shield that we have right now. Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. Man, and you know what, though? I'm glad that they're not focusing much on Braun Strowman being 7 feet tall. Because if Braun Strowman is 7 feet tall, so is Drew McIntyre. And so is fucking Jinder Mahal, for that matter. Because they're all the same fucking height.
Yeah.
But I digress. So anyway, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have some more points from Raw that I say made it heel heavy. And also, we had new Raw Tag Team Champions. Another reason why I say it was a heel heavy edition of Raw that deserves a little bit more chatter. So we're going to talk about that here in a little bit when we get back right after these words.
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again. You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no. What do you want to call it? You want to call it Drinking Soda, but you don't want to call it soda because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday nights? Okay. Well, you did Rippin' Fridays, you did Saturday Night Special, you did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye.
people everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Everybody, welcome back. Let's see, we've got the new Raw Tag Team Champions, guys. New Raw Tag Team Champions. Let's start with Batman on this. You have to know Batman when these guys, you know, beat the shit out of Lars Anderson and Arn Anderson backstage, that they were going to become tag team champions right there. Actually, you should have known when they were talking to the GM, Baron Corbin, about what happens, you know, if they can't make it, that they were going to be new tag team champions. And, you know, so it was very predictable. But indeed, it did happen. New tag team champions, which is the new Shield. What's their name? Do they have a name, guys?
No.
The Nameless Stable. Batman, your thoughts on the new Shield picking up the tag team champions from the B team?
Well, the thing is, I actually kind of saw it with I saw it in the beginning. Like, I was like, I have a feeling they're gonna get involved into something because they've really been doing good. I don't know. I'm actually not really disappointed in the Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre thing, and for them to give him a belt kind of puts them back into the scene again. They just had a belt on them. They lost it with the Intercontinental, and now they're back into tag team. It's a good kind of like to keep holding them over until they put them into a different program. You know what I mean?
I don't have a problem with it at all, man. I don't have a problem with that at all.
The way they ended it, and then they had them pose and the whole lighting and everything, like, they made them look good. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to see what program they're going to put him in. I wonder who they're going to go against. It could be the Shield. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
So what does this do for the push of the
Revolvers?
The Revival.
What does this do for the Revolvers, Christian? Going forward.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
So, does this mean the Revival are going to turn face now?
Man, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What does this do for them going forward? It's crazy.
They're on the fired list, so they're going to go anyway, so we shouldn't really care. Because Vince ain't renewing their contract.
They're on the fired
maybe
list.
Maybe they're fired now. Maybe they're gone now because they're not on the – maybe they're gone now.
Damn.
And this is a weird one, right? In the backstage segment where Dolph Ziggler asked to have a tag team title shot, right? And Baron Corbin says, well, the Revival have it. And unless they don't compete, then you get it. It didn't took like a few minutes that Renee Young was interviewing the Revival, and right away they attacked the Revival. they basically told you what they were going to do, and they did it in the span of 1 second. And somehow, Dolph Ziggler, in a span of 1 second or a few seconds, tied his ponytail while his hair was down when he told Baron Corbin they want their tag matches. How does that happen? How does that work?
I've had long hair before. Batman has long hair. it doesn't take much if you have the little ponytail holder. You know, it's like a little band thing. It's not a rubber band because that's too harsh on the hair, but it's like a little band, you know, a little ponytail thing. And, you know, you have it in your fingers, and it doesn't take long, man, to grab your hair and just whoosh. But I think it could be done in 1 second, Batman.
Yeah.
What, put your hair up pretty quick? Yeah, ain't that bad.
In a ponytail, you know, just in a quick, simple ponytail, whoosh, 1 second, yeah. So, yeah, they did walk. I mean, obviously, you're absolutely right, though, Christian. Obviously, the segments took place in the same room, and they had a little freaking, you know, candle or a little curtain holder in between or some little panel or some type of shit, and they were right next door. And, you know, in the second that it took over to walk over there to start the beat down on the revolvers, you know, he tied up his hair, and it was go time. That was interesting that you caught that, yeah, Christian. Though it was very interesting that you caught that, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Isn't Baron Corbin supposed to protect all his champions? Because isn't Seth Rollins the IC title champion? So he's not really doing his job good at all.
Well, but you have to remember, though, he is a heel. He is a heel, he's
going to
let the heels have run.
I know, but even Stephanie protects the champions, though.
Oh, interesting. And perhaps that could lead into a storyline, you know, with him and Stephanie in their ultimate blow-up, if that ever happens. We'll have to wait and see how that develops. That's a new story. But, yeah, so we had new Raw tag champs. The B team is, you know, what, you know, they're... I don't know.
They're done.
I don't know.
They're done. Their run is done.
I was liking them. I thought they were kind of entertaining, you know, but then they switched up the whole music and shit, and it became inorganic, and now they're done, just like that. I don't know if they pissed somebody off. Maybe Bo Dallas got arrested again. Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows? But anyway. Let's see, what else did we have? The Shield taking a beating. Well, we already did that. So it was a heel-heavy Raw, guys. We also had the promo from Alexa Bliss that was, man, the way she worked that crowd in her hometown was masterful. Master freaking fall, man. Just the perfect heel. Elias was on his game, too. A great segment. And then, oh, man, if we're going to talk about them, you know, because I'm partial to the heels myself, in case you haven't noticed. But if we're going to talk about the heels, let's go ahead and talk about the faces, because out comes that pit bull, Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Pit freaking
killing
bull.
She's killing it.
Yeah.
Listen, man. I don't like her walk to the ring, but, oh, well, it's effective. And when she got in the ring, it was very, very effective. And this is what she should be doing all the time. And they should protect her from speaking on the mic because that's when she looks stupid, okay? She went in there
make
and
it
just
minimal.
Freaking ragdolled Alicia Fox and then just
Jesus.
Set the scene, and that was it. And that's all it took. The crowd went freaking wild. And Alexa Bliss, of course, got away again
smiling.
After she beat the pet cat. Because let's give Alexa props, too. She went out there and defeated the pet cat, Natalie, or whatever the hell she's going by these days. The pet cat, man. But, yeah, man, Ronda Rousey ragdolling Alicia Fox. It was fun to watch. Batman, did you enjoy that? Christian?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think Ronda needs to stop smiling, though. And that's what I hate about these faces. They always smile. Those smirks, those grins, they're the most irritating things I hate in a face. You're supposed to be a badass face. Stop with the smiling.
Right?
It's like every face smiles.
Yeah, right. Bobby Lashley, you got him fucking sitting in the ring smiling. And meanwhile, Kevin Owens comes back to beat him down, which, oh, man, I thought it was way too soon. Come on.
Yeah,
I could see Bobby Lashley and Kevin Owens. I feel like Kevin Owens could bring something out of Bobby Lashley.
You know what? Hopefully.
Like,
obviously, he's been
like
assigned with that task.
Forcefully. Yeah, because Bobby Lashley's going to have to keep up with somebody else. Kevin Owens' caliber, because Kevin Owens is good on every aspect. He's good at the promos. He's good at his in-ring work, his presence. So to be with somebody like Kevin Owens, because Bobby Lashley really hasn't been with anybody Sami Zayn, Elias. They're not top people like Kevin Owens is. You know what I mean? So if you put him in something with Kevin Owens, he's going
to
have to.
I think Elias
win.
Is, but Elias is on a different level. Or they're different. It's different. I think
they're
Kevin Owens
people,
is
but
more capable.
Not Kevin Owens.
I do think Kevin Owens is more capable of putting over
Yeah, Kevin Owens
Bobby
is more
Lashley.
Capable of bringing that out, yeah. Because of the veteran,
Owens,
you know, he's a veteran already.
Owens is going to lose again. He's going to lose on another pay-per-view.
Oh, damn, I hate to see that. But you know what? I mean, shit. Man, I do hate to see that. Fuck. Damn, pissing me off. Pissing me off.
Yeah!
Hey, it is what it
and
is,
then,
man.
Oh,
I mean, you know, shit. Continue.
And then
Christian.
What makes it worse? And what makes it worse is Owens is announced to have a match against Cena at the Super Show, so he's going to lose there, too.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
I could actually see Chris Owens winning. To be honest with you, I could see him winning.
Which match?
The John Cena one?
Cena match?
Because John Cena's already kind of exiting. He's only doing, like, sporadic appearances now, you know. He's kind of weaning his way out of the main spots.
But it's going to be in another country, though.
Make a way.
Where's it going to be? That's going to be in Australia, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They might give that to Cena. I don't know, man. Ah, shit. But you're right, though. There's a possibility. The possibility's there. That Kevin Owens could lose. Well, obviously he's gonna.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not saying he's not hot.
Bobby Lashley's
gonna be hot for a while, but yeah, he's not on like a program or anything like, you know, he was when he does people or when he does win the matches like that. Right now he's kind of just been gone. You know what I mean? So I don't see him coming back and just winning out of nowhere.
Yeah. Shit, man, I'm really down right now.
Well,
I'm really down hearing
about
Owens.
Let's talk about something that might cheer us up. Let's talk about AOP's new manager.
Oh, that's terrible.
Man. I don't know if that's going to cheer. I don't know if that's going to do it. I don't think that's not going to do it. No, it's not going to do it. That is not enough to fucking cheer me up. I don't like that guy. I hate that guy. And now he's out here. He should have been in a suit. But I hate that guy. I'll tell you what does cheer me up, though. And that's watching this video, Hump a Trump, by Big Bow Bowser. That really cheers me up. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should. You should go to YouTube and look up Big Bow Bowser and check out his video, Hump a Trump.
Big Bow Bowser, motherfucker. You thought I was dead?
That's right. You thought I was dead? That's what he's saying. Thought I was dead. I thought he was fucking dead. I feel like this song is for me. Oh, my God. Big Bob Wowzer. You gotta listen to it. Look at that shit.
It's the Big Bob Wowzer, motherfucker. You thought I was dead? You dead wrong. But I got something to say. I've been in the shadows for too long. Here we go. Pump a Trump in the rumpadon. Ivanka Trump's the one I'd like to pump. His other daughter, well, she's hot as fuck. I guess Melania is out of luck. Donald Trump will fuck his daughter's true. The Russian hookers might piss on him too. I bet he'd even let him take a poo on his toupee, but that's the story, boo. Collusion, no intrusion, confusion, the illusion. Can't impeach him if you can't reach him. No one can teach him like Robin Leach did. Golf and putters, fingers on a porn star's udders. Too many lines, too many pies, too much friction in between sides. He's healthy, bigly, hands are twiggly, tearing down Chicago like he's a Wrigley. Nobody likes him but his supporters, and the military can follow orders. With his wall, he cuts the corners, but all I want to do is fuck his daughter. Pump a Trump in the rumpadum. Ivanka Trump's the one I'd like to pump. His other daughter, well, she's hot as fuck. I guess Melania is out of luck. Donald Trump will fuck his daughter's true. The Russian hookers might piss on him too. I bet he'd even let him take a poo on his toupee, but that's the story, boo. Make America great again with hate again. What the fuck is on my plate again? Alright, there's nothing, man. His tariffs are off the charts. His tweets are like my farm. They smell like shit. Somebody take a hit and let's get done with this. I've had enough of the deflection. So the election, that's a small erection. It's not fake news. The Space Force, MAGA red, fucking hats and shoes. Who the fuck's he firing next? Drain the swamp. The noose is tightened around his neck. No disrespect. I can't wait for Mueller to impeach his fuck so I can stick his daughters with my hockey puck. No! Dump Trump in the rumpadum. Ivanka Trump's the one I'd like to pump. His other daughter, well, she's hot as fuck. I guess Melania is out of luck. Donald Trump will fuck his daughter's true. The Russian hookers might piss on him too. I bet he'd even let him take a poo on his toupee, but that's the story, boo. That's the story, bitch. Word.
Yeah, give it up proper there for Humpa Trump. Big Bob Wowzer, his latest track, Humpa Trump. So that is what is making me happy right now, guys. That is what's making me happy.
You want to know a joke?
Yeah, sure.
Bobby Roode's tag team partner and his whole tag team thing.
Oh, man. The only thing I can see from this is the catalyst of him turning heel. Because it was kind of crazy watching this whole thing, man, unfold. It's like, are they on SmackDown or Raw? Was this SmackDown or Raw? It sucks when you don't even
they're
know where
on
they're
Raw.
At.
They're on
Raw, yeah. And now Bobby Roode is coming out dancing, and he's got somebody, a crony, if you will, following him around doing the dance steps and stuff. This can only go mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels.
I swear to God, when they were announcing Bobby Roode, the announcer's table, they said, well, Bobby Roode had great achievements in a single run. His NXT World title reign, his United States title reign. That's it.
Yep. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Man, I could not believe that. And then they stopped. That was it. That's all they could say. It was terrible. They should have not said that. But, man, he is a freaking joke. He's turned into a joke, Bobby Roode. And I guess he's okay with that, man. I don't know. I mean, we don't hear anything about him making noise. But perhaps he hasn't heard this show yet. Because, that's what I think he's become, man, a freaking joke. He should be a heel. He should be one of the top heels in the mid-card. At least, you know, if they're not going to put him to work with freaking, because he could very easily be working with Drew McIntyre and shit. He's got it in him to do that. You know, if you're not going to put him like that, put him as a top heel in the mid card or some shit.
He's gone so bad. He's not even in the mixed match challenge.
Oh, yeah. Almost makes you question why. I guess, you know, but some of these guys, man, they want to be at the pinnacle, and that's WWE. They get the most exposure. They get the most pay. They do have to put in a lot of work, though. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's doing all of the house shows. They have a house show coming up here. I want to say it's next weekend. Next Saturday. Not this Saturday.
I'm
not going.
All Bobby Roode needs to do is stop wearing the robe and wear a T-shirt. He needs to stop coming out with that robe. It's kind of a disrespect to Ric Flair because, you know.
So you're saying nobody can wear a robe?
No, I mean, Charlotte could do it because, you know, she's somewhat over, but Bobby Roode can't. It's not him. That's not his character. That's not who he really is. He's not a person to wear a robe. I'm sorry.
Batman.
I can only see him wear his T-shirt.
Batman, what are your thoughts on, you know, we've been going at it with Bobby Roode here. Robe or no robe?
Man, I mean, I don't mind the robe, but I think if you're going to give him a different character, if you're going to give him a different character, then yes, it's time to take the role. You know, give him a shirt like Christian saying, or I don't know, man. I really don't
they
know.
Should just straight up be the new Beer Money. Beer Money 2.0.
I mean, they could do that. I'm not sure what the Chad Gable thing, I'm not understanding it. Man, I just, poor Bobby Roode. I don't know if he's just coasting, just saying fuck it. Or, I don't mean, maybe he's the one that did it. Maybe he's the one that put it up and was like, hey, give me a chance, give me something different. You know what I mean?
Is there any chance that we get Chad Gable in a robe or a kimono?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but I don't think that much.
Christian?
I think Chad Gable should change, you know? I don't really care, but I think Chad Gable should change his name to Marty Jannetty 2.0, because that's what Chad Gable is right now. Marty Jannetty.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's rough. But it was a very heel-heavy Raw this week. Would you guys agree with that statement?
Yeah.
It reminds me of Eric Bischoff days.
Yeah.
Everybody
like
was here.
Eric Bischoff days. Hey, Christian, why don't you promote your show for this week, man? What all are you going to bring up this week? You want to go through the topics, the ones listed on your show? Have you seen the show?
Yes, of course. This Saturday at Radio Renegades, we're going to talk about what the fuck moment. Like, what the fuck, CM Punk's heel turn against The Rock, because I wasn't expecting that, and that was the beginning of the end of his career. What are scenarios? What if Batista didn't quit in 2010? I want to know where he would have been if he didn't quit back then. Missed booking opportunities, and a few extra segments here and there on the show. Extra fun segments.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show, as always.
Christian's got some new segments up his sleeve. He's putting me to work. In fact, I asked him for him. I asked him to come up with some new segments. Christian's very creative, man, so he's definitely helping us out here. Asked him for some new segments, came up with some new segments, and, you know, I was thinking I might steal some of those segments from my show. Not steal them, but, you know, borrow them. Actually, I was going to do T-Rock's Name That Tune. I was going to start doing it today, but I didn't have time to load up the songs. Maybe next week. He's told me, he gave me permission to do Name That Tune. And would you guys like to do Name That Tune?
Yes, please.
You know, a little contest, you know, where I play a fucking song.
Yep.
And you guys, you know, tell me if you know it.
We should
not.
Also put Jeopardy music. We should also put Jeopardy,
you know what,
music,
man?
To think.
I have one that I've been playing here, and I'm not too sure you guys know it. I'm gonna play it right now, see if you guys know it. Let's hear it. All right, Christian says he knows it. Batman, do you know it?
Oh, I don't know. It sounds familiar, though.
What is it?
Is it Jimmy Wang Yang?
No, man. That's a good guess, though. That's a damn good guess.
Smoking Gun?
It's Lance Cade.
Lance Cade,
oh,
yeah.
What
you
a
guys
burial.
Remember Lance Cade?
Yeah.
It's
he
was,
John was
with that guy.
Protege, right?
Yeah,
he
wasn't
was
ready for it, man.
He was with that guy, Doc Murdoch.
Yeah, I heard a podcast about it because he had killed himself some while years ago or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He just wasn't ready for
whatever
that spot.
Happened to Trevor Murdoch?
They tried it. They tried to give it to him. And
I don't know, but
I think
he reminded
died
me of Dirty Dick Murdoch.
He did. He died too, I think.
Doc Murdoch.
Yeah,
both
died.
Yeah,
I think he just. I think he just disappeared off the face of the earth, and that died.
No, I think
I
think he had died too. Same thing, and then that's when Lance Cade died some years after.
Oh,
I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna find out. So you guys didn't know that one, and I play that one. I play that as a bumper. Let's see if you guys know.
Yeah,
it
sounded like a smoking gun kind of thing. Yeah.
Try
let's see
another
if you
one.
Guys,
we got 2 minutes
go.
Left, guys.
Let's see what you guys know. Eminem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
those
Melina,
are the only
yeah.
ones that I had that maybe you guys might not know. All the others you guys definitely know. Definitely. For the bumpers, you know. But I definitely can load in some more so we can play. This is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, let's see. All right, guys. So we're done here, man. That's the show. That's the show. How do you guys like the new format real quick? Okay, Christian, real quick.
Okay, so and two news quick updates. Seth Rollins may be injured because of the whole main event attack thing because his arm was bleeding profusely.
Yeah.
And Evolution's pay-per-view ticket sales are in the all-time low.
Yeah. Even though they keep bringing the people, because I know Lita and what's her name are going to be? Lita and Mickey
these
James
are, the,
are coming back.
Live. These are the live ticket sales? Wow. Interesting. Well, guys, thanks for the news there, Christian. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, tune in to Radio Renegades with Christian and Batman, and that's Saturday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to tune into that. And for Christian and Batman, and of course, headliner Joe Bates, I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it heel, keep it real, and as always, keep it sexy. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next week, we are at it.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.